Welcome to Manny's. Manny's is a people-powered, community-minded space in San Francisco. While most of us are sheltered in place, they are presenting a jam-packed series of virtual conversations with folks who are on the front lines of the crisis and those who will lead the Bay's recovery. To keep you civically engaged from home, KALW is airing a new conversation every Friday evening. Tonight, founder Manny Ukutial talks with Mayor London Breed about leading San Francisco through a time of crisis and the first place she'll go once shelter in place is over.
Mayor Breed.
How's it going?
Thank you so much for doing this and thank you for the time. I know you're super busy and you're doing so much right now, so I really appreciate you having this conversation with Manny's and the community and all those great people. Let's just get right into it, okay?
All right.
Okay, so my first question for you, Mayor Breed, is I want to know how our mayor's doing.
It's challenging. I'm working every day, but it's still difficult not to hang out with my friends and people that I want to hang out with. Zoom has been amazing because you can at least talk to people and see them but it's still really challenging. In addition to the decisions that have to be made and also explaining to the public why, I know people probably feel like, how much longer? Why do I have to do this? And I also really feel bad about kids and just what's happening. And so I'm just really, a lot of it is just trying to do a good job, but also trying to keep my sanity myself and get my fresh air and follow the rules and really hopefully give people hope as we go through this process, because it is like nothing any of us have ever experienced before. So I am doing the best that I can. So thank you for asking.
What are Mayor Breed's top three tips for people who are getting cabin fever or families who are at home with their kids right now? And how are you dealing with, you know, your own cabin fever?
Yeah, I think I use Zoom. So I go on Zoom and I act really silly.
All right.
I mean, laughter is going to be so important. I remember when we were kids and like my grandmother, like we would dress up in her clothes and her wigs and everything. And we'll come out and we would perform and we didn't have all this technology and cell phones and all this stuff to do, but we got really creative. And so I would just say, make it an adventure, get creative. Social distancing doesn't mean social isolation away from your friends and family members and people that you should stay connected with. It's also a great opportunity to get connected with other people that you may not have talked to in a while. So I would just suggest that we get creative. We start having a little bit of fun indoors. We try to make, you know, a light of the situation as much as we possibly can in our circles, so that we're not always serious and stressed out and worried and really screwing up our mental capacity to really absorb and process and just deal with all of what we know everyone is dealing with.
Sounds good. All right, let's talk about the first decision that you made to, to kind of say no to large social gatherings. What caused you to make that, to pull the trigger that first time? And then again, what was the moment that caused you to pull the trigger for shelter in place?
So we were studying this issue for some time, even back in January. We operated our emergency operations center and we were monitoring what was going on all over the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, looking at how the virus took off in various cities and countries in general, it made me nervous because all it took is one person. And I don't know about you, but I've seen those movies like Outbreak and others where it's like all of a sudden you have a pandemic, which is what we're right in the middle of. And so what I wanted to do more than anything is prevent whatever I could prevent from happening. And I know that it was probably frustrating to people because they felt like, well, wait a minute, there's no cases here in San Francisco. Well, wait a minute. Like, I bought these tickets to the symphony, you know, 2 weeks ago or 2 months ago, and people just did not want to change. And I think that it was important to make the decisions based on what we know was coming and what we know was happening in other places, but doing what they didn't have a chance to do. And so that's why I was very decisive. That's why when I met with community members and others before I issued the declaration of emergency, I made it clear, as much as it pains me to do this, because not only was our Chinese community already suffering because of a lot of the discrimination and the xenophobia that was happening to this community, but then I was taking this bold action, which was, of course, going to sadly scare people away from San Francisco and was going to have a tremendous impact on our economy. But at the same time, I knew we were approaching a situation where this is going to be a public health crisis in our city. And I know this because we have public health experts who study these issues, who I respect and I believed. And I wanted to do everything I could based on their advice that could limit the spread of this virus in our city. And I felt that that was more important than the economics, even though we know that this is going to be so hard for so many San Franciscans financially.
And honestly, Mayor, I feel like so many people are so proud of our city now looking back because you took that decisive action early. And, you know, so far, at least, and I know we can't count our chickens before they're hatched, but so far, you know, I feel like what's trickling down is that it's really paying off. So thank you for doing that. Seriously, you probably saved a lot of lives by taking that bold action early. So from me to you, I just want to say thank you for that. Yeah. Okay, my next question is, I'm sure I can only imagine what your life has been like the last couple of weeks. I'm sure you've seen a lot. So can you tell me about an experience that you've had that has deeply frustrated you and one that has made you deeply hopeful from the last couple of weeks?
You know, the thing that is making me lose it is people who are not staying away from each other outside. You know, I feel like this is payback for all the problems I gave my grandmother when I wouldn't listen as a kid. And she would tell me over and over, come inside at this time. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do that. And now I find myself in a very similar situation where all I want to do is go out there and tell everyone, stop, stop, stay away from each other. Move, move, back up, back up. And so I think the hardest part has been seeing people not socially distancing themselves from one another when they know they should, and not really caring either, and not really understanding the impacts. And even I ran into a friend when I was at the grocery store and he tried to come up and give me a hug. I'm like, ah!
But couldn't you just go for a hug right now? Is it with
this? I could use a hug, yes. But I was like, no thanks, I'll pass in light of what's happening. I'm like, we can hug in 2 months, you know? And the other thing that really bothered me that he said, as someone who I felt was paying very close to this issue, he said, look, I've never been sick, so I'm not worried. And I said, well, what about your girlfriend who you're here with? What about other family members? What about your dad? You know, like, you may be a carrier, you may not even think you're sick and you could actually infect other people. So just, he said, I didn't think of it that way. And so I think part of what's been, like I said, difficult is, and I understand because I didn't get it at first either. And it had to be broken down to me. So I think what I realize is I have to exhibit a little bit more patience with people and trying to explain to them why this is important. And I'm hoping eventually that people will get it. And I think for the most part, most San Franciscans are getting it. You remember what happened 2 weekends ago with the parks?
Yes.
And everyone was packed and the weather was nice and they were at the beach and the hiking trails and hanging out as if nothing's wrong and this is a vacation. And when I reiterated how important it was not to do that, otherwise we're going to really shut it down, even more so than we already have, people really backed off. And I appreciate that. I think once you explain to people the significance and you're patient with people, but we're getting to the point where my patience, just like I know my grandmother's patience has ran out with me on numerous occasions, my patience is starting to run out with some people.
Please don't close the parks, though. Please, we'll behave.
I don't want to. I'm trying. Okay. Help me help you.
I will do
Stay
that.
Stay away from everybody at the parks.
All right, let's talk about small businesses. Obviously, it's something I care a lot about. I'm a small business owner. I'm on the Small Business Commission. How are we going to make sure that our small businesses reopen after this, given the fact that so many of us, you know, a lot of our small businesses were already just barely skating by? I know you announced a new small business fund today or something. Can you tell us? And I know you care about small businesses. I know you care a lot about
Well, the fact is, the sad reality is, Manny, you know just as well as I, the city has too much bureaucracy for small businesses in the first place. There are too many fees. We ask a lot. Even before this happened, we have asked way too much from our small businesses. And part of what I wanted to do was completely reform some of our systems and cut down on some fees. We've been able to do that, not as far as I'd like to go, but in light of what's happening now, we've had to, you know, shift our focus. One of the first things that we did was to delay the payment of business tax until February of 2021. We also delayed fees, you know, those stupid fees that businesses should not be paying for tables.
On the day you said that, I got a $1,000 fee from the city. And I was like, this is like real talk. I don't have to pay this right now. So it was super helpful.
We delayed that for 3 months, and I'm going to push it off even more because I think those fees are ridiculous that small businesses have to pay for a table or a chair, or you're already paying taxes to the city. You're already paying rent and utilities, and you're paying for your employees. And we want to basically nickel and dime you every step of the way. So that makes me crazy. Anyway, so we're going to delay those fees even more. We immediately launched this fund, as you know, for $1 million for $10,000 grants. And that was gone almost instantly. So part of the announcement today was to not only add another $1 million to that fund for some more grants, but we have launched a fund that is with, I think it's $8 million. We're probably going to add more to it. But small businesses can take out a loan of no interest loan up to $50,000. That can help them kind of get through this really challenging time. And we know that the federal government, through its stimulus monies, have some support for small businesses, which I'm excited about. I'm hoping the combination between what we're doing here locally and what's coming from the federal government will be helpful to help small businesses get kind of over this hump, especially people who do hair, the people who are barbers, the nails and the masseuse. We know that they are struggling now. And so, and then the way that our loan works, we'll make it easy for repayment and we won't charge any interest. We're not trying to gouge small businesses. We want them to basically rest at night, being able to cover their bills for their business and if possible, their employees, because we know how hard it is. There's definitely more that we're going to need to do to support small businesses because this is going to be a very, very tough time for all of us, for all of us.
First of all, just thank you for doing all that. And I know you think a lot about our small businesses because they're so much of what we love about San Francisco. All right, let's talk about our unhoused folks.
Oh, can I go back to one more thing about small businesses?
Yes.
So there's the commercial eviction moratorium. So if your landlord hands you a eviction notice, please contact us immediately. We are not enforcing, the sheriff has made it clear, we are not enforcing evictions. And so we want to make sure that people have time and an extension to pay their rent. And I want to say to small businesses, if you're looking for help, if you have questions or concerns, you're just uncertain, go to oewd.org and look on their website. It's a great guide, or reach out to 311.
Okay, let's talk about our unhoused folks, because a lot of people are talking about this.
Yes.
People are saying, they're like, you know, this could be an opportunity to, because we're in an emergency, to house a lot of the people who are unhoused, maybe in the hotels. And, you know, people are talking about this a lot. And I wanted to ask you, is this possible? And how is the city thinking about it? And also, what are the realities on the ground? Like, what can...
And you know, I will tell you that the first thing I thought when this happened is, wow, we're going to be able to get everyone into a hotel room like yesterday. And then the realities of the finances and also the public health priority kind of sunk in.
Yeah.
Because this is a public health crisis and we have to make every decision based on that. And instantly, when we started to work with the hotel community, we realized that there are a lot of things that go into operating these hotels, and also whether or not the workers who actually work at these hotels are willing to come back and work in the situations where we might have people who are quarantined. And then on top of that, the protective gear and what we need to do to make sure that they are they are kept safe and healthy. The good news is the hotel community has been cooperating with us, and we are working with them, and we have acquired a number of hotel rooms all over the city for various priority levels. Specifically, what we've had to do first and foremost in our congregate settings that we as a city are responsible for, some of the SROs, some of the shelters, we had to, you know, we have to thin those out a little bit to maintain social distancing. If there's not enough room in the shelters to do that, we have to move people into a hotel room, which is something we've been doing. Today, we had a case where someone was diagnosed in one of the shelters with COVID-19. And so instantly, that person is actually now in a hotel room because that person is not sick enough to be in a hospital bed. And then also we moved other people into a individual hotel room. And part of the other thing we have to do is provide security to make sure people don't leave when they're diagnosed, yeah, which is a whole nother issue. And that also comes with mental health support and a number of other kind of wraparound services. So it's not as simple as we can provide everyone with a hotel room. We will be providing hotel rooms for everyone who can almost pretty much stay independently, and specifically to the vulnerable populations of people with medical conditions and those over 60. We just got a hotel location with about 400 beds. We're going to be moving people directly off the street who fit into the vulnerable population first. And we also are, Moscone West is another location where we're going to be moving people who don't exhibit any symptoms to Moscone, and pushing, you know, like setting, we have a setup for social distancing. And a lot of this is about making sure, because they require 24-hour staffing. And this is very expensive. And we will only be reimbursed for some of the expenses related to the population, that is the vulnerable population and the over 65. But we have said we're going to support those over 60. We put in a number of systems. This is going to be very expensive regardless for our city, where we are anticipating a maybe anywhere between a $1.1 and $1.7 billion budget deficit. It's a lot. But we are doing everything we can to try and focus on the most vulnerable, to try and focus on our congregate living situations, to make sure that the people who are working on the front lines in hospitals and working with the public in our public safety arena, that they have access to hotel rooms, because they don't want to necessarily go home. And there are concerns there, especially with our limitations around testing. They want to serve the public. They want to do their jobs, but they don't want the risk of infecting their families. So we have a plan in place where the priority is public health, and we are not going to just be able to take over every hotel room in the city and provide staffing and be able to move people into hotel rooms and force them to stay there. That's just not going to happen. And the reality is, people who sadly have drug challenges and mental health issues are not going to take a room and stay there. That's just not realistic to expect people who are struggling. If we're not providing them the services and support that they need, then what makes you think they're going to not only stay in that hotel room, they're going to stay there alone? Yeah. The fact is, this is a public health crisis. We need to do everything we can to protect them and other vulnerable populations. And we need to be strategic about how we provide that support. And we need to be realistic about what that means. And so that's exactly what we're doing.
Okay. I want to talk to you about May 3rd. I know you're probably going to say, don't get too excited.
Don't get excited.
What do you and Dr. Colfax need to see in order to end shelter in place?
Well, it's really not necessarily me. It's what is our Department of Public Health, Dr. Colfax, our county health officer, along with, this is a collaboration. We collaborate with the other county health officers. I will tell you that they're not going to want to let up, even if the numbers seem to be declining, because as soon as you're going this way and all of a sudden you flatten the curve and you're kind of going down, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, we can go back outside and play and fun. And then boom, you go right back up there again. So I think they are going to be looking at the data, and they're going to be making a recommendation based on the data, because we don't want to go backwards. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, I'm not getting excited about May 3rd. I think you need to prepare for a longer haul, because I think it'll probably peak based on some of the information we have, probably sometime in April. Mid-April. We're in April now, right? Yeah. Whew, I don't even know the dates.
Oh, it's been 2 weeks, but it feels like it's been so much longer than 2 weeks.
Oh my God. Yes.
I think that's the hardest thing, Mayor. Honestly, it's like, it's the not knowing when the end date is going to be. It's also knowing in the back of your head that that might have to change. I mean, that, at least for me personally, that's the hardest part. And I'm sure that's hard for you as well.
It is, because I get the calls, I get the emails, it's like, Mayor, when can I get rid of my kids? You know, I hope I'm the first one that is able to tell everyone, we can go back outside. I am looking forward to that day.
I want to go to El Rio. I want to dance in the sun with a paloma in my hand so badly right now.
Yes. Here's the thing. The world is moving so fast. And when you think about it, I feel like this also gives you a moment to pause and to just reflect and to just sit down for a minute and to just really appreciate life, this has even been better for the environment. It's also been somewhat good for families. This is probably more time that anyone has spent with their kids or their significant other or what have you in a long time. It also is a time to just sit back and appreciate the fact that if you are able to stay at home, that you even have a home, you know, that you have friends who are checking on you or who would go grocery shopping for you. Mm-hmm. So it's a good time to reflect and to just slow it down a little bit as we go through this. And I think that all of us, we're going to come out stronger, but we're also going to come out with just a different appreciation about life as a result of this experience.
I want to talk to you about leadership, Mayor, and I wanted to ask you, what is a leadership lesson that you've learned or are learning in the last couple of weeks throughout this process, through leading us in this time?
I will say that it's, you can't make everybody happy, and you got to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. And you have to do what you think is right based on how you feel inside. Mm-hmm. And I know that sometimes people want me to do what's best politically for whatever next position they think I'm supposed to run for.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to live my life in fear of losing this job. I'm not going to live my life in a way that forces me to do things that make me uncomfortable. I need to feel right about it. This is who I am.
Yeah.
Love me or hate me, it's who I am. And it's like, no matter who is in charge, there are always going to be people who don't agree with you, who don't like you, and you got to be okay with that. And that's what it takes to be a strong leader and to be focused and determined and to get the job done.
Okay, so we just have like time for a couple more questions. God, I feel like I could talk to you for a very long time. I know you have other people to talk to. So you just recently announced this COVID Economic Recovery Task Force. And I wanted to ask you about it because we're Californians, we're San Franciscans, and we think ahead, right? We're supposed to be this progressive city on the hill. And so I'm really glad that you're assembling this task force for the recovery, because we're going to get through this, but we need to recover well. So can you tell me a little bit about this task force?
We put together this task force with, you know, four chairs, assessor recorder Carmen Chu, the treasurer, Jose Cisneros, those are the city money people, mm-hmm. as well as the Chamber of Commerce executive director and the head of San Francisco Labor Council. Yes. Because this is about all of us. This is about our business community. This is about our workforce. This is about the finances of the city with the budget projections and what we anticipate is to come. We know we're going to have to make some hard decisions. Wow. And we also know that we have to do something short term now to protect people financially as much as we possibly can. Wow. And then what happens after this? What happens when, like, we say, okay, it's over? When does the recovery start with the visits to the hotel rooms? People are going to be hurting financially all over the world. So people aren't just going to all of a sudden start coming to San Francisco. People aren't going to just all of a sudden start going back to restaurants. So it's going to take us some time to get through this. And what does this mean in terms of how we think about fee restructures, how we think about the existing finances, how we basically trim away things that are unnecessary, how we support our workforce? Like, how are we going to develop a long-term plan that will get us through and something that we set up and then we implement in order to help us pretty much come back to a decent financial situation?
Okay, I have a question for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is not a political trip. You're at home, you're getting dressed, you call your friends. It's the first night and you can go anywhere in the city. Everywhere's open. It's not like now where it's like, are they doing takeout? Like, everywhere's open. Mayor Breed can go out. She's off the clock. Where is she going to go first night?
Okay, first of all, I'm getting my hair and my nails done before I go anywhere.
They are done. You look amazing.
Okay, shoot. I'm going to one of the restaurants in the city. I love State Bird Provisions. I love like the neighborhood places. So I'd probably maybe go someplace in the neighborhood, like Sheba Lounge, because they play live music every night. I would probably go there and dance and eat my Ethiopian food and have a good time. And that'll probably be one of my first stops. Oh my goodness. It's almost like, I'm losing it right now. I'm ready to go right now. I'm going to pretend I'm there now.
Beautiful. My last question for you, Mayor Breed, is, are we going to be okay?
We are going to be okay. We have been through very challenging times in our history. I remember when I was in high school during the 1989 earthquake, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of folks who were hysterical. People were panicking. Yeah. People were looting. There was a lot going on. And as time went on, we start to rebuild. Yeah. Like, we prepare for these things better than we even did then. And we came back.
Yeah.
We've come back after 9/11, even though it impacted New York, it impacted, you know, everything we do with our airports and how we feel safe as a city and as a country. Yeah. And we'll never forget this. We'll never forget the challenges we face. We'll look back and talk about what happened in San Francisco during the coronavirus, and kids will be adults talking about their experiences during this situation. We will get through this. Wow. It's going to make us a stronger and even more resilient city.
Yeah.
And what it's also going to require is the very best in all of us. We have to stay focused. We have to stay positive. We have to stay determined if we are going to make it through this thing together. Yes, it sucks to be in the house all day. Yes, it sucks to have to deal with your kids and tell them no 2,000 times. Yes, it sucks not to just be able to go and sit in the restaurant. We know, but guess what? It's going to get better. And you know what? We're all going to appreciate those experiences more than we ever have before. Because that's what happens in San Francisco. We're made for this.
Yes, that's right. Mayor Breed, thank you so much.
Thank you, Manny. Take care. Bye.
We hope you enjoyed the first installment of Welcome to Manny's. To check out the full roster of upcoming talks, head to welcometomannys.com. The show was produced by David Boyer, that's me, and engineered by Gabe Graben. The theme music is These Times by Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to Manny Pukutial and David Perry for making this happen. We'll meet you next Friday at 5 p.m. right here on KALW.